Yes. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it so much. You know, your pastor, when he was doing the announcements, I kind of felt like he was starting to preach. How many felt that way a little bit? You know what happens during these revivals? The preacher gets all stirred up. Woo! Boy, you want to be here Sunday morning, I can guarantee you. He's going to light it up here, let me tell you. Amen. That's what we want. You know, people that are, you ready for this? People that are decently right with God love hard preaching. Isn't that something? The people that don't like it are the people that are living according to another message. And that is the message of self or the message of the world. And Satan is a master of deception. And he wants to do everything he can to destroy this generation. He's after this generation. And I'll tell you what, if there's ever been a time that we need to stir things up for God, is today. And I appreciate, Pastor, what you shared this evening about the crucial position that we are in as Christians. And I believe we're going to be persecuted for our faith. I do want to recognize Celeste Shipley. Wave at me, Celeste. She was, her and her dear husband, Joel, and their daughters were members of Annsville Baptist Church. And we're just thrilled that she was able to make it. She didn't find out about it till 5 o'clock. So now, is that a dedicated member or what? She got right over here. And But pray for her father-in-law. He's in hospice right now, going through a tough time. And so we want to remember the Shipley family in prayer together. Amen? Amen? So we want to take care of that. Our Heavenly Father, touch our hearts tonight. A lot of prayer has gone into this meeting. A lot of practice and service and labor and visiting and phone calls and doing everything we can to bring the folks in. But Lord, we know you're the one that brings them in. And Lord, I know that maybe some people thought, I'd never dreamed I'd be in church this week on a Tuesday night. But Lord, here we are. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. I want to read to you one verse of Scripture and want to build a message on it. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, if you'll notice, the last sentence at the end of this verse is what I want to look at. Are you there yet? Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. And let's read it together. Ready? Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's read it again. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? That man, for the first time in human history, they began to call upon the Lord. They began to pray. Many people only pray when it's a crisis. Did you know that? Hey, if everything's going great, got the world by the tail, amen. Things are going great. Everything's going my way. And then all of a sudden, everything goes the wrong way. And then all of a sudden, we call people up that know God and we say, would you pray for me? Have you ever done that? How many have ever called somebody and said, please pray for me? Somebody you knew got a hold of God. Someone you knew that was a prayer warrior. Amen. We had a lady in our church in Peekskill named Florence Mastronunzio. I think that's Italian. And we called her Master No. And she was a prayer warrior. And when I did her funeral, her daughter came up to me and said, I want to give you my mother's prayer list. That's a treasure. I have it in my office today. Oh, I can't believe all the people she prayed for. And you know, people would call her and say, pray, for my family. Pray for and whatever the request might be. One Sunday morning, she came into church there in Peekskill, and she was chipper. How many know what chipper means? She was awake. She come walking, "Hi, Pastor," gave me a hug, and I said, "Wow, you must have had a good night's rest last night." She said, "I didn't sleep a wink." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "My arthritis kicked up last night. It was so bad." She said, "I couldn't sleep at all." She said, "I tried to lay down. I'd have to get back up. I'd sit in the chair." And then she said, "All of a sudden it dawned on me. If I can't sleep, I've got the Lord all to myself." And she said, "We fellowshiped all night long." No wonder she was sweet and happy in Jesus. She knew what the abundant life was all about, and it comes by getting acquainted with God. It is God's Word that speaks to us. Amen. "Oh, thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Amen. And I want to tell you, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Prayer is when we get on our face before God and we prostrate ourselves and cry out to God. And it's God that will listen to a broken and contrite heart. You know why many people never hear from God? It's because God never hears from them. God's not just a list that we give to about what we want, but it's a crying out unto God to meet our needs and to help us. The Bible tells us in Jude verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." I want to preach this evening on fall on your face before you fall on your face. I want you to remember that statement. If you will fall on your face before God, you will not fall on your face in disgrace. You will not fall on your face disappointing God. You'll be walking with Him, and when you walk with Him, He will guide you into all truth. And He will protect you from every evil work that Satan would try to bring your way, or the world would try to bring your way, or your own selfish flesh would try to bring you that way. The Bible says in Psalm 18:36, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." How many have ever slipped and fell? You never intended on it. You never thought it would ever happen. But all of a sudden you find that the earth came up and you went down and you met. And it hurt. Many people fall and they slip in their Christian life because they have gotten away from walking with God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know what that means? That means if you let God order your steps, you will be a faithful, dedicated Christian. Some people think they're dedicated Christians, maybe because they go to church once a week, or maybe they read their Bible once in a while. That's not what a dedicated Christian is. A dedicated Christian is one that literally every day lives according to the Word of God. And I want to tell you something. When you get to the place where you know how to call upon God, your life is going to take on a whole new look. It's going to be amazing what God will do. In the book of Luke chapter 18 verse 11, the Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Have you ever seen somebody faint? We were at a family reunion last October, and my nephew's wife who was with child, all of a sudden, she fainted, and I'm talking about hit the floor. I mean, boom, hit the floor. I'm like, oh no. She fainted. The Bible tells us men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. If you are a prayer person, if you walk with God and you pray to God, you don't have to worry about fainting. Amen. You don't have to worry about failing the Lord in your life. Now let me give you, I want to take you on a little journey through the Bible. There are over 20 of them. I'm not going to give you all 20 of them because I'm interested in desserts later. No, I'm not really. I've got so much sugar in me right now, amen. No, Lewis and Marie took care of us for supper. It was amazing. The pastor and his wife last night, and then tomorrow night it's the pastor. We are just living it up. Amen. And I'm eating all the things that I'm supposed to eat if I'm diabetic. So it's good. I think I've even lost weight already, right? I'm in my second day of knowing that I have sugar. Amen. Now, if I faint, it's not because I haven't been praying. Amen. Now, I want to take you on a little journey of people in the Bible that prayed. In the book of Genesis chapter 17, Abram was a man that had been called out of Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land that he knew not of. It was Abraham that was going to have a child. God promised Abraham and Sarah a child. And everything's good. They're waiting on God to give them a child. But man, by the time it got to the 24th year, and Sarah's 99 years old, guess what? Doubt took over their minds and their hearts. Oh, God's not going to give us a child. In fact, the Bible tells us here in chapter 17, verse 3, and Abraham fell on his what? Face. And what did he do? It says he did nothing. It says, and God talked with him. Did you know the next few verses, God once again reiterates the Abrahamic covenant to Abraham, stating that you're going to be the father and Sarah's going to be the mother of many nations. And through their seed, all of the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. But they had gotten doubtful. And after the Lord spends all that time speaking to him, there in verse chapter 17, if you're there, he speaks to him from chapter 17, verse 1, all the way to verse 17. Then Abram fell upon his face, and what does it say he did? He laughed. Ha! Yeah, right, God. Yeah, you made a promise, and yeah, you didn't come through. Go with me to chapter 18. In chapter 18, look at verse 12. Therefore, Sarah, what'd she do? She laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? So they had both come to the place where they believed that God's promise was a lie. Oh, that's a dangerous place to be when you can't trust God. Well, if God really loved me, he'd have come through. Remember, his timetable is not the same as yours. We tell God, I want this by the end of the month or by the end of the week. And if you don't come through, I'll work out my own plans. You understand what I talked about last night. But I want to say to you that Abraham and Sarah, in their doubt, God got them on their face. They fell upon their face. And by falling upon their face and listening to God speak to them, see, prayer's not you doing all the talking. Prayer is when you get alone with God and say to God, God, what is it in my life I need to straighten out? Amen. There's times the Holy Spirit will say to me, Daniel, there's some things I want you to do and you better do them. Amen. When God speaks like that, don't you mess with him. Because he's telling you the antidote for victory in your life. But if you refuse to do what God wants you to do, then you can mark it down. Trouble is on its way. I want you to notice here, in chapter 21, would you turn to chapter 21 quickly? And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age at the set time. God has a set time that he's going to do everything that needs to be done. And you've got to learn to live on his timetable, not your own. Watch this. Look at verse 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to what? I can see her going, you ladies understand this. If you've had a baby, you go, I can't believe it. I'm going to have a child. And she was laughing about it like, wow, God did come through. God isn't a liar. See, God's not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it and shall he not make it good? Let me tell you something. If you'll grab a hold of the promises of God's word and hang on, God is going to prove to you how great he really is. If you can believe God, you will be victorious in your life. And you will have God's commendation instead of God's judgment. Let me take you to a story given in the book of Numbers chapter 14. If you'd like to turn there, you may. Moses and Aaron were murmured against because of Israel's unbelief. And it was pretty sad what happened in the congregation. In Numbers 14:1, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried. See, they were going through a wilderness experience and they were not trusting God nor God's man. And the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Why would you ever want to go back to the world once you've known Jesus? That's a mystery, isn't it? To know God is to have victory over the world, which Egypt is a type of. And these people wanted to go back to Egypt. And they said, or would to God we died in the wilderness. Now that's a wonderful thing to do, is die in the wilderness. Isn't that great? Instead of being under Moses and Aaron's leadership, it'd be better if we just went out here and laid down in the sand of the desert and just died. They're not even thinking right. You know, people that aren't right with God don't think right. I call it stinking thinking. Amen. It stinks in the nostrils of God. And it ought to stink in your nostrils. How many of you ever thought a bad thought about something you wanted to do and then you said, I can't do that. The Lord won't let me. Amen. That's how we're supposed to be living. We have to decipher between what's right and what's wrong. And we need to turn away from that which is wrong and cleave to that which is right. That's where God's blessing comes from. Well, these people that were all mad at Moses and Aaron, they went on to say, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain. We don't like this Moses and Aaron. Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Let us go get back in the world. Now, Pastor, I thank you for taking a stand against the world from this pulpit. And I'm thankful for all of you that could say amen when he was talking about those things, saying we need to pray for our country. Thank God for a pastor that tells you the truth whether you like it or you don't. Because really it's not him at all. It's God speaking through him. And I want to tell you, many preachers have a broken heart because what they've been preaching has not been being lived like it should be. And every preacher deals with these things. And every church has these moments. And here we are, Moses and Aaron. What are they going to do with these rebellious people that are going against everything that God wanted them to do? Notice what it says here closely with me. Are you watching verse 5? Then Moses and Aaron pulled out swords and started killing everybody. Oh, that's not what it says? Oh, okay. Just checking up. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their what? They fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Again, the same thing happens in the book of Numbers chapter 14. Two chapters later, there's a man by the name of Korah with 250 other men that rose up against Moses and Aaron. And the Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 16, and when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Why did he fall upon his face? Number one, he didn't want to make a bad decision. Amen. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, we make bad decisions. How many of you have ever said something you wish you could take the words back? But they're gone. They're gone. The damage is done. And sometimes it's hard for the people that you talk to like that to go ahead and say to them, well, I'm really sorry. They'll go, yeah, right. A lot of people don't know how to forgive. And I want to tell you, when a person transgresses against you, you better forgive. You say, well, why should I? Well, God forgave you. I wonder how many sins He's forgiven you of. 1 or 2, 10 or 20, maybe a couple thousand. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're sinning all the time. Or we're thinking about sinning all the time. Or we're wanting to sin all the time. Our nature is often out of control. And the only thing that really controls you is when you are truly born again. And I think there are some people that need to quit rededicating their lives and they just need to get saved. Because there's no evidence that they're really saved. Let me prove it to you. I grew up in a preacher's home. At 6 years old, I went forward into service to get saved. Nobody dealt with me. I got up from my knees thinking I was saved because I went forward. I wasn't saved. At age 14, my father said, Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're really saved. And I thought to myself, I haven't seen any indication that I'm saved either. I like my sin. At 14, the Holy Spirit smote me and said, you're headed to hell. If your dad tells you he hasn't seen any indication that you're saved, you're a hell-bound Baptist preacher's kid. And you're not getting in. Unless you put your faith and trust in me. Man, I grabbed my Bible and I led myself to Christ. Man, I wanted, you know, it came to the place where I wanted Jesus. You've got to want Jesus before you'll ever embrace Him. And so I embraced the Lord that night. That afternoon I got saved. And oh man, I was excited. My dad came home and I told him, I said, Dad, I got saved today. And he said, we'll see. And I think the Lord's that way. Anybody can make a profession of faith, but if you really possess Christ, there's going to be evidence that you're saved, that you're excited about the things of God. So Moses and Aaron, did they do the right thing? Yes. They fell upon their face before the Lord. Let's go to the book of Joshua chapter 5. We have a man named Joshua. Joshua was a great warrior. Joshua was the one that spent many years working with Moses. And in chapter 1, the Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, verse 1 of chapter 1, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land that I shall give thee, even unto the children of Israel. God made a promise to Joshua. You go across that Jordan, and you defeat the enemy, and you possess the land that I'm going to give to you. Now, is that a promise? That's a promise. He made a promise to Joshua. So Joshua, get this. When the Ark of the Covenant was going, came down and the priests put their feet in the water, the Jordan River just separated like this and they walked through on dry ground. How many would like to have a God like that? If you're saved, you have that same God. They got over there and they saw these great big huge walls of Jericho. I mean, these walls were, ready for this? They were 4 chariot breadth wide. There were homes that were in the walls themselves. And Joshua needed strategy. How many of you ever needed strategy for something you're doing? Now, how can I figure this out? You know, a lot of times, if you try to figure something out without God, it'll flop. You'll go, oh man, what did I do? I can't believe I did that. All of us are guilty of that. Joshua is out on his horse, and he's looking over Jericho. And he's strategizing, and he needs to know what to do. Look with me there in chapter 5, verse 13. In chapter 5, verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. Now here's a man that's got a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, here's the words, art thou for us or for our adversaries? What he was saying was, are you for Israel or are you for the people of Jericho? Notice what the man said. Nay or no. What he was saying, I'm not for Israel and I'm not for Jericho. That's strange. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Do you know what happened here? The captain of the host is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we call a Christophanies. When Jesus showed up on the earth before his birth. This is Jesus. God sent Jesus down to give Joshua something very special. Watch this now. He said, as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his what? Face on the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto thy servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now there's a lesson for us here tonight from this passage. Many of you people are looking for strategy when you really ought to be looking to worship God. Now, do you understand that? You can strategize and get your ideas from the world. That doesn't mean they're going to be successful always. Let me tell you something. In the spiritual realm with your family and with your church, you've got to know what God wants you to do. Every step is a very careful step in God's direction. And the best way to learn strategy in your Christian life is to know how to worship God. When's the last time you fell on your face at home in prayer to God? I mean, fell down on your face. I remember I came home from college where I was serving back a number of years ago, back in 2012, I think it was. My wife was on the floor crying. Now, when a husband comes home and sees his wife on the floor crying, he's concerned. I mean, being married to a man like myself, why would she be crying? Isn't that illogical? I said, honey, why are you crying? She said, you wouldn't understand. I'm like, I wouldn't understand. She said, all of your family is saved and my family's lost. Oh, did she get my attention? I said, Ann, let's pray together. We prayed for her family. While she was weeping for her brother who was near death, God was working up in Maine to bring him to salvation. See, God, you know how a cell phone works, right? If I wanted to call the pastor and he's got his phone on him, I could just call him and go up to a satellite and come back down and right here in this room and he'd answer. God has a satellite system going. It started in Genesis chapter 4. Then began men to call upon the Lord. A deacon up there in the town where my brother-in-law and sister-in-law lived decided to have a yard sale. Well, Betty went to the yard sale, my sister-in-law. She found something she wanted. Of course, now, David was on a walker and sometimes in a wheelchair. He was waiting for hospice. There was nothing they could do for him. They sent him home basically to die. He told that deacon that. And the deacon just, I can't say just happened to say, because that's not providential. The Lord led the prayers of my wife to shoot up to heaven, and then God spoke to that deacon and said, ask him if you can have a prayer meeting or a Bible study in David's home. He said, yeah, come on. And that man led my brother and sister-in-law to Christ. Now I want to tell you something. God's not dead. In fact, I think God's up in heaven doing one of these. When are you going to let me help you? When are you going to let me do some miracles in your life? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30 verse 18, therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. But if we don't call upon him, He has no need to help us because we already got it figured out. See, you don't have your strategy all figured out. God's the one that's in charge of your life in every intricate detail. And the interesting story here is when Joshua fell upon his face and worshiped God, if you'll take the time to go into the next chapter, you can do that later, but you'll read the exact strategy God gave Joshua to take over Jericho. Do you think it's a good idea to fall upon your face? I believe it is. Then I want you to go with me, if you would, to our Lord Jesus. In Matthew 26, verse 38, Matthew 26 and verse 38, Jesus here is in the Garden of Gethsemane. In verse 38, he said unto his disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and what did he do? The Bible says he fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, who's he praying to? He's praying to his heavenly Father, and he says, oh, my Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass from me. You know what the cup he was talking about? It was dying on the cross and shedding his blood for your sin. The passion of the Lord Jesus Christ was done for one reason and one reason only. To save your sinful soul. Jesus came to die that we might live. We were born to live. But many people are not ready to die. Let me tell you something. If Jesus came back tonight, if all of a sudden we heard the trumpet sound and across the street in that cemetery, people start coming up out of the grave. That's what the Bible says. Take it up with God, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Then we that are alive, that are saved, are going to be caught up out of this place. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then you know what he says? Comfort one another with these words. The greatest comfort that I can give to you, that God can give to you, forget me, the greatest comfort that God can give to you is His Son, who suffered and bled and died so you would not have to go to hell, so that you could go to heaven. Oh, I want to tell you, Jesus said, Lord, in my flesh, in the human part of me, I just do not have to go to the cross, but it's not about me. It's about your will for me. Isn't that beautiful? It's God's will for me. It's God's will for you. That you serve Him and that you get saved if you're not saved. And if you are saved, to live for Him. Don't give the devil another week. I mean, some of you may have gotten away from the Lord a bit. All of us do, from time to time. Some it takes us out of church. Sometimes we're so, think we're so spiritual, we never leave church, but we're not living right. There's sin in the church. I'm telling you. You know why? Because we're all sinners. But thank the Lord Jesus died for our sins, that He might redeem us from our sins and give us a new life in Jesus Christ. Now the disciples, they fell asleep. Just like some church members when the preacher's preaching. Oh yeah, I've put people to sleep before. You'd be amazed how many people I've put to sleep over the years. Now those people I'm not too worried about. It's the ones that stay awake make me nervous. Amen. But the truth is, some people are sleeping and they don't want to be woke up. Don't mess up my life, Lord. I've already messed it up. I like it just the way it is. Don't try to straighten me out. That's not the Christian attitude. And I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ has never done you wrong. But boy, we've done Him wrong, haven't we? And that's what we must repent of. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been coming to this church. If you're not right with God, you are offending your Savior. And I want to tell you something. Do you like to be offended? Do you like to be hurt? Do you like to be ridiculed? Do you like to be mistreated? None of us do. But when we don't live according to God's Word, it's almost like we're slapping Him in the face and saying, take that! And yet the Bible, I was reading today in Isaiah, where God's hand is not shortened, that He cannot save. His arm will reach out to us even when we slap Him. That's real love. Amen. That's what real love is. And Jesus knew what it meant. To give up His will, His human part, for His divine part. When He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. That's a good thing you can do when you get ready to make a bad mistake. Or a sin against God. When you start to, you're about ready to sin against God, you ought to say, I'm going to do what the Father wants me to do, not what I want to do. And then I want to close this evening with the church itself, the church. Go with me, if you would, to Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31. I believe the church is God's agency. And I like the fact that your pastor mentioned something about the evangelists, because the Bible talks about pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists. And I like the fact that he talks about that. I think it's important. The Church of Jesus Christ is important. The Dover First Baptist Church is a very important part of this community. And I want you to notice in chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had what? When they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what?
with boldness. The church can fall on their face. I remember one time at Peekskill, we had an all-night prayer meeting. It started at 10 o'clock and went till 6. We had 23 people show up. Guess how many we ended with? 8. That's not bad. Some snored their way out. Some just couldn't stay awake, or they said, I gotta go home, or I gotta go to work, or whatever. But I wanna tell you, we had an all-night prayer meeting on our face before God, and I wanna tell you, God spoke to our hearts. It was the most refreshing thing I ever did when I was pastor, and I wish I'd done it every year. Give our people a chance to come and spend the night fellowshipping with the Lord. You know, if Master No could do it and get a blessing out of it, couldn't we? Oh, I don't think we pray enough. We must prostrate ourselves before the Lord. And then I want to encourage you out of the book of Revelation. Go there one more time. Revelation 7. I want you to see this, because this is going to be you in a few years. The Bible makes it very clear in chapter 7, verse 11. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne. This is up in heaven. And about the elders and the four beasts. And fell before the throne on their what? Faces. And what they do? They worship God. You know what we're supposed to be doing right now? We're supposed to be practicing for heaven. Amen. We're to be preparing ourselves to meet the Lord. Can you imagine standing before the Lord and saying, why didn't you ever talk to me? To those that He knows all of us personally. He knows how many hairs are on our head. But don't you think it's going to be a blessing when we get to heaven? I wouldn't doubt it all, but what Jesus is going to come by one day and say, you know, I appreciate the time you took to spend with me down in that busy, wicked world that you were living in. We must have a revolution back to prayer and the power of God and boldness for God. Notice, prayer brings the Spirit, which brings boldness to our Christian life. And we need it. We need it desperately. This church has been having revivals for 30-some years. Has it done anything for you? Can you go back into the years in the past and say, I'll tell you what, I needed that. But I'll tell you what, we need it more than we realize. You know, some churches used to have revivals twice a year. Some three times a year. That's because they needed to hear from God and collectively worship the Lord and stay in tune with God. And I'm simply saying to you that we must spend more time worshiping God. It'll bolster your faith. It'll make you strong in the Lord. It'll cause you to be a testimony to the people outside this place that desperately need God. How many of you know someone that needs God? Oh, if every one of you that raised your hand would get along with God and get on your face and say, oh God, get a hold of these people's hearts. I believe God would hear from heaven. And He would move like He did with my wife and my brother-in-law. God can make things happen. Amen? Amen. Wouldn't it be neat for your prayers to go to God and then God takes care of the things that are burdening your heart? That's the miracle of prayer. Let's pray together, maybe. Let's all bow our heads together. Let's stand, if you would. The pianist is going to come and softly play in just a moment. Folks, I cannot tell you any better than I did tonight the great need for you to fall on your face before God. Some of you need to fall on your face and get saved. Repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're going to hell. And I say that because I love you, not because I hate you. Jesus made a way for you to go to heaven. But you've got to respond. You've got to say, I want what Jesus has to offer me. If you're not saved, the pastor's right here. Just come and say, Pastor, I'm ready to be saved. I know I need to be. I thought about it. Maybe some of you made a profession when you were young, but it seems like God does not possess your life like He ought to. I want you to come and get saved. Amen. Some of you, you've not been spending time on your face before God, and maybe that's because you thought you could take care of it yourself or work it out yourself. Maybe you need to come this evening and say, oh God, forgive me for trying to strategize without your power. Forgive me, Lord, and help me to make the right decision so that my life glorifies you. I want you folks to come immediately. As the pianist plays, you come, would you? Would you come? Maybe you're burdened for somebody that's away from the Lord. Why don't you come and beg God, like my wife begged God for her brother's salvation. Why don't you come and just say, God, you know who I'm talking about. You know what they need. Arrest them. Get a hold of them. Help them to understand that you love them and that they need to repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, God bless you for coming and getting on your knees tonight. Anyone else want to come? This is one of the most delightful things you can do, is to fall on your face and say, oh God, I need you. I need you not just to go to heaven, but I need you for my daily life. When you get sick of the world, you'll want Jesus. When you see the heartbreak and the sinfulness of this world, and it affects you and your family, then you'll repent, then you'll fall on your face. But why not do it before you have to have tragedy? There's no reason for us to live in rebellion against God when we ought to be saying, Lord, please help me. Help me to know you. Help me to understand your power in my life. Oh, listen, the invitation's always open 24/7. Anytime you know that you're ready to be saved and you know God's dealing with you, you can be saved, but don't challenge God and say, I'll put it off. Because you know what happens? You put it off too many times, and guess what? God will stop speaking to you, and you'll be forever lost. That's a dangerous thing, isn't it? Oh, dear God, please touch hearts and lives. Oh, God, would you save that person that's closest to hell? Lord, would you bring that backslider back? Oh God, help people that are away from you to realize how wicked their sin is, and may they repent of it, and may there be a restoration in the lives of those that have gotten away from you, Lord. We beg you to send revival right here, right now. And for those that came forward and knelt and prayed, oh God, you know the burden on their heart. They've shared it with you. Please, hear in heaven, oh God. And I pray that you would visit them. And God, that you would do like you did with Anne and her brother David and Betty. Oh God, may you bring people to yourself by your mighty power. In Jesus' name, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Dan. And thank you, Father, for the moving of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We have one more night of revival meetings, but I think that's when the revival begins, if God is stirring your heart.
Amen.
And what Dan was saying about really getting on your face before God and praying for those people that you want to see saved, it takes that kind of a commitment. There are people here tonight that know what I'm talking about, and I don't want to embarrass them, but they have shown love and caring and spent, I'm sure, much, much time in prayer, and they got to see salvation come to their home. I'm speaking of Jody's dad, who we've been praying for, and we've had him on the prayer list. And Jody told me on the phone yesterday that through caring people, through love of the church, and through the caring of Dan and Jody, he came to see his need for Jesus Christ. So it happens. Not in your time, but it can happen if you care and you love and you pray. And don't cease from doing that. There are people out there that need to be here tonight. They're not here, but maybe tomorrow night. They need to know you care, you love them, and that God loves them. He wants them to be saved. I could keep you here hours telling you stories, starting with my own brother who was here Sunday. He almost died because he wasn't listening to God. He was rebelling day in and day out against God. He said, I'm not going to become one of those Christians. He didn't want to be a Christian. He had ladies that worked for him in the print shop that were leaving him Bible tracts. And he was getting upset with them. Then he'd go home. He lived in my dad's, my dad had an apartment. And he lived there with Donna, his wife. And Dad would go in during the day and leave all these Bible tracts everywhere. And then, of course, he didn't speak to me much back then. You know? But God got a hold of him. But it's best to listen to God when he first talks. That'd be the best time. He waited and waited and waited and waited. But one day, God said, I had enough time waiting. He was up on a two-story roof painting. Stepped down on the ladder and the rung broke. And he landed on his back. And he was paralyzed. And in that very moment, I'll never forget, he told me, I looked up and said, God, what do you want me to do? I was called to go to the hospital. And I went in that hospital. And he reminded me of the guy in the Bible who said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Because that's pretty much what he said. And I was able to lead him to the Lord. There are people out there that need to be saved. They don't know it. They're blinded by the world, by the flesh, by the devil. You gotta love them enough that they can get their eyes open. We have one more night. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've saved us, that we are forever eternally yours. And the day will come, we'll be ushered into your presence. Thank you, Lord, for evangelists. And may we have a renewed appreciation for what evangelists do. I love being a pastor, but it's so great to be able to sit and hear the preaching and teaching from an evangelist and the stirring that they can create in our heart. Bless them and bless this brother. Dismiss us now, Lord, we ask, with your blessing upon our fellowship and also the food and the refreshments. Lord, I thank you for the good folks who took the time to prepare them that we could enjoy this fellowship. And Father, we ask these things, uniting our hearts together in the name of the one who has redeemed us for all time and eternity, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.